Welcome, everyone. And if you're a visitor, we're so glad that you're with us. And if I could wish you one thing for your experience in being with us, it would be God's goodness. We pray that will be the case for you. And just a reminder to all of us as we gather together that we have our re-entry date set. It's for Sunday, August 2nd. And we understand that everyone has a different filter in terms of decision-making. Do I come back or not? And we want to respect that, no doubt. The three primary filters that we see operative right now within our church family is that there are many of you who would have been glad to meet yesterday if you could. There are some of you who want to meet today but are cautious and want to be sure that we're providing safety if you do come back. And then there's a third group of people who won't be with us probably for many months to come for various reasons. And we respect each of those filters, and we're trying to work creatively to come alongside and meet the need of worship and engagement for whatever your personal situation is. So though we're opening August 2nd, we're going to keep our online ministry strong, healthy, and well, it will be the primary place many of you will worship for some time to come. But if you're thinking about coming on August 2nd, and we certainly want to welcome you, a couple things to consider. First of all, safety. Your safety will be our priority. We are practicing social distance and following the requirements of the CDC. Those things are already in place. Secondly, I want to call attention to our service times, which will change quite a bit from where they were before in order to protect the social distancing guidelines that have been given to us. And so in Bush Lake, we will have one service at 10 a.m. In Chanhassen, we have the benefit of two venues. We'll work with both of those venues. In the Prairie Side Room, we'll have two services, one at 9, one at 11. And in the Woodside Worship Center, we'll have one service at 9. We'll roll out a new service called The Chapel. And then the third thing to be mindful of, we want you to RSVP when you're coming. It's the way we can be best prepared when you arrive on August 2nd. So there's a lot more information. Go to our website related to re-entry and learn more of what that looks like. Let's jump into the message today. I hope you had a great 4th of July weekend. We certainly did. I got to see my mom. We played a game, a new board game called Blank Slate. And the objective of the game is to come up with words. You can use any word that you want to complete a phrase, but then you score points by having a word that is matched by somebody else that you're playing with. So let's play the game. Good blank. Think about that. How would you fill in the blank? Good feeling. Good day. Good life. Good God. I think if I was playing in a group of people who knew me well, I wouldn't be alone. I'd have a match with somebody who would say, good God. And there is a truth to that. God is good, and yet life is hard, and we know God's goodness is greater than life's hardship, and we want his goodness in our lives, and he wants to work through our lives to bring goodness and touch the lives of others. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to be doing a short teaching series simply called Good. And we're looking at scripture texts that speak of God's aim for goodness. And this day's message is really a simple one. Today, we're looking at a message called Good for the City. So fill in the blank again. Play along with me. Blank time. Some of the common answers, what are you thinking about, would be daytime, night time, good time. I have an answer that I'm pretty sure would not find a match, no matter what group I was playing with. Jeremiah 29 time. And you might think that sounds like a pastor's kind of answer, and certainly it is. It's Jeremiah 29 time. What do I mean by that? Well, there is an unprecedented migration that is explosive taking place with people coming into the cities around the world and even our own Twin Cities. And it's providing a historic opportunity to bring the love of Jesus Christ to people here, near, and far. And we're stepping into that very arena, believing that God is working an active mission unlike we've seen in history. So it's funny to me how certain scriptures just pop off the page for specific times, particular times. This is Jeremiah 29:10 time. And it speaks to the reality of a phrase in Jeremiah 29 that says, seek the welfare of the city. And you may not be aware of this, but that little phrase is sweeping across churches in North America. Seek the welfare, the good, the peace of the city. I want to take a look at Jeremiah 29, specifically verses 4 and 8, but you can't understand it without the broader context. So join me in a fairly long reading of Jeremiah 29, but it's beautiful and powerful and important. It reads this way. This is the text of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the surviving elders among the exiles and to the priests, the prophets, and all the other people Nebuchadnezzar had carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. This was after King Jehoiakim and the queen mother, the court officials, and the leaders of Judah and Jerusalem, the skilled workers and the artisans, had gone into exile from Jerusalem. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Listen, build houses, settle down, plant gardens, and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. Also, here it is. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. Yes, this is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says. Do not let the prophets and diviners among you deceive you. Do not listen to the dreams you encourage them to have. They are prophesying lies to you in my name. I have not sent them, declares the Lord. This is what the Lord says. When 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity. I will gather you from all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I have carried you into exile. Let me give you some background to this amazing text. Babylon was the powerhouse city of the time in the world. It had a mighty, mighty army. And that city, by the way, is in Iraq, 60 miles south of Baghdad. And the book of Jeremiah has three dominant themes. They're important to the storyline: judgment, false prophets, and hope. That is, it is about judgment, that because of their apostasy, because of their ungodliness, no longer turning to God but living for themselves, they experienced judgment for God that brought them into exile into Babylon. And we find that King Nebuchadnezzar sent this army to go into Israel. And if you took notice of the reading, that he didn't take all the people. He took the professionals. He took the rulers, the priests, the prophets, that group, because they practiced what was called cultural assimilation, with the belief that if the leaders of a nation come into Babylon and they're put to work and live in that place over time, subtly they will adapt to that culture and become Babylonian. So therefore, the Jewish distinctiveness in this case would be diminished. And you've heard the line in our companies, pace of the leader, pace of the team. Well, pace of the leader, pace of the nation as well. And it's about the battle of the prophets between Jeremiah, who is the voice of God to the people of God, and the false prophets who are trying to confuse the people of God concerning the voice of God, trying to dissuade them from believing Jeremiah. And it's about their future hope. It's a message that this exile is not permanent, that there is hope, there is a restoration theme. You will return home. Now, in their mind, they're thinking 2, 3, maybe 5 years we'll be in Babylon, and then we're getting out of Dodge. We're going back into Jerusalem, into Israel. But that's not the case. It's told here that it will be 70 years, and they didn't like hearing that, but that's what God has in mind for them. And it brings us to, I think, what is the heart of the message that I want to bring to us today. That you will prosper when you serve as God's ambassadors of goodness for the city. I think that was a message for them and for us. You will prosper as you become God's ambassadors of good into the city. And that's what we're going to deal with through Jeremiah. He shocks them with three ways that they are to bring good into the city, that they are to settle in, that they are to be ambassadors, servants of the Lord, ambassadors of his goodness, and they're to seek the welfare of the city, the good of the city. That's where we're going to spend our time. But at the end of my meditation thought, I'm going to invite my dear friend, Sammy Wagnoni, to come and speak about the good that he's bringing into the city and our partnership with him there. So the first way we bring goodness into the city is to settle in rather than separate from. Settle in, not separate from. Now you think about that in our own lives. In the context, see, they had lived in a place where everybody believed as they believed. Their lives were not disrupted. But now they find themselves in a city that is not familiar to them. It's a pluralistic city. People believe different things. They have different gods. And the call is for them to settle in, not separate from. We find it in verse 5 again. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there. Do not decrease. There's a long view and there's a short view that is in mind here. The long view and the climax is the hope that you will return home. But in the in-between time, you are called to settle in, not separate from, to bring goodness into the city. And you might think, well, how is that relevant to us? Well, let me make it really clear. We are exiles too. And honestly, we forget this truth. But Philippians reminds us of how true it is. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, well, our first home is not, like in my case, Chanhassen, where I currently live. My first home is heaven, and heaven has been brought to earth through Jesus Christ. That is my first home. My secondary home is Chanhassen. But I am called to settle in and not separate from. While here, I am to become part of the community, part of the economic and social fabric of the community. I am to establish a meaningful presence in the place that I have settled in here and to believe that God has a purpose for it. That's what he's elevating. There's a purpose for the communities in which we've lived and settled into. He reminds us in verse 10, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Planned to give you a hope and a future." That verse is familiar to us. We usually put an ocean scene behind it rather than an exiled scene. But God is saying, I'm going to refine you, the place that you've settled in. Don't separate. I have a purpose for you in the city. So that's why we're here. We have a purpose, a meaningful presence intended by God. You know, when we came to this community 25 years ago to plant the church, I had a metaphor, a picture that I used that we don't want to be the little white church at the edge of town. It's no offense to little white churches. It's just the reality that something has happened over the decades where once churches used to be a center voice in our communities, they've become outer ring and not even heard at all. And we're called to have a presence where indeed the voice of God gets heard through the people of God. And so therefore, we made a commitment early on that we would establish a presence in the community to seek to bring goodness into it. We do it intentionally. It would be meaningful because we believe that goodness matters. And we've done that for 25 years, and we see the fruit of it in so many different ways. And even in the last 4 to 8 weeks through COVID and the unrest in our city, the invitation for you to give gift cards, and we've received thousands of dollars of gift cards, and we've had teams of people put those gift cards into gift boxes with other gifts, and they've been brought to leaders within our community and our cities, Minneapolis, St. Paul, our own backyard, to nonprofit leaders, to black churches and their leadership, to civic leaders, to those that are serving on the front line, because your generosity had allowed us to penetrate in simple gifts, and those simple acts of kindness make a difference. Yesterday, just as a word of encouragement for you, we received a letter from the Bloomington Chief of Police who had received one of these gift boxes from one of our teams. And he says, "On behalf of the Bloomington Police Department, thank you for your wonderful and generous care package and the abundance of prayers and support of myself and the Bloomington Police Department. Please know that I have passed your $100 gift card to the animal control shelter for their needed purchase of supplies and food. The coffee, tea, candy, and servant pin are all wonderful gifts in the box as well. An important function of police work has always been maintaining good community relationship. It means a lot to the officers and staff to know the work that they do is appreciated by community members they serve. So once again, thank you for your gifts and your continued prayers. Don't hesitate to call us if ever we can be of service to you." That's called mutual goodness. That's what happens. The seeds of goodness get planted. They open up the doors for goodness to flourish. Personally, settle in to your community. Don't separate. And watch goodness flow. Bring goodness into the community. Collectively, as the church, let us not separate, but settle in and bring goodness into the community and watch God's goodness flow. You know, God intends for churches to be born where there are people. So we bring acts of kindness, but we also do gospel sharing and church planting. And Tim Keller says something so exquisite in relation to this. Tim Keller reminds us of these words, that the people of the world are moving into the cities faster than the church is moving into the cities. Or, he says, God is moving people into the cities faster than Christians in the world are ready to follow, and something must be done. And I think that something to be done is for us to be available and prepared to go into the cities, the ones that we settle in and the ones that surround us, and to bring the goodness into the city. Because city growth is part of God's plan in history to reach people with the love of Jesus Christ. It's Jeremiah 29 time. And then number two, another way we can bring goodness into the city is to serve as ambassadors, not conformers. Specifically to serve as ambassadors of Jesus Christ and not conform to the values of the cultures in which we live. And I think that's a beautiful metaphor, that we are ambassadors, because an ambassador moves from their home place, place A, to another country, place B. And while they're there, they become conversant in the languages. They become familiar with the customs and the community pulse and rhythms, and they seek to appreciate them, but at the same time to bring the values from their home place into the communities, to build bridges, to bring people together in the spirit of goodness. And that's what it means to be Christians, that we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, that we are seeking to bring people together in the good name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the call for us. Yet the values of our home place are profoundly and radically different than where we're currently exiled. And we're mindful of that truth as well. What does it look like for us to be where we are? Well, Jesus says that we are a city on a hill. I like that picture. It says there are earthly cities, but we are a city on a hill, like a mini city in the city, and that we are broadcasting the light of Jesus Christ in that place with values related to Jesus' way that may be contrarian to the ways of the culture in which we live. Think of the big three: sex, power, and money. When it comes to sex, sex is not about getting in the values of the kingdom of God. It's about giving. But how often do we hijack and make sexual intimacy about what we get, and we lose sight of the values of the home from which we come? Or I think about power, how easy it is to power over people rather than to power under, but the way of Jesus is to power under, to be a foot washer. But how we're tempted to follow the way of the world and power over people to get what we want. Or I think about money, from the kingdom value that is in Jesus. All that I am and all that I have is His. It's not mine. But we're tempted to take that which He has given to us and use that for our purpose and gain rather than His purpose and gain. So it's a battle, and I think part of that struggle is real for us, and we need God's help to bring His values into the world that we've settled into as His ambassadors. And then the third way we bring goodness into the city is to bring and to seek peace in the city. And this is a beautiful reminder that as we bring peace into the city, our goal is not to see its demise, but to see it grow and to strengthen. That's what goodness does. And it says in the passage that when we do this, you will prosper, and so will the city. What a great reminder it is for us to settle in, to serve as ambassadors, then to seek the peace of the city, the welfare of the city. And they must have been shocked because they didn't want to be in the city. This was not the city of their choosing with all this pluralistic adaptation that they were facing. Verse 7 reminds us, also seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. And the word peace here is shalom. And we tend to think that that means tranquility, but rather it means to bring a fully thriving and flourishing presence of goodness into our communities, economically and socially, and yes, even spiritually, that God intends to bring that goodness in and through you and me and our communities of faith and in our individual homes as we settle in. And we're told it will prosper you and it will prosper the city, that if you are good for the city will be good for you. And God's eye is on us as we bring that goodness of the Lord into the city and even beyond. We have this God advantage. Jesus tells us to love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. As we settle in, not everybody will think that our values are compelling. And yet, as we continue to bring, hearts get softened, communities get transformed through the goodness of the Lord. It's hard to pray for the peace of the city when we don't like the city. So we have to guard our hearts from those attitudes and step in with the boldness of Christ to be the way of Jesus and bring the goodness from our own backyards into the cities that surround us. And this goodness will then prepare us for the coming of Christ, as well as prepare the cities for the goodness of God that opens up the heart to the reality of his presence. Friends, it's Jeremiah 29 time. And you will prosper when you serve as God's ambassadors of good into the cities. So let's be those ambassadors. I want to invite Sammy Wagnoni to come, and you're going to hear just a beautiful story of how God is bringing goodness into the city. Sammy, many of you know, he's preached here, served here in many dimensions over the years. He's a member at Westwood. He's also the founder of Shine and a ministry called Merge, and God is raising up. Sammy is one of those voices, one of those leaders that's seeking to bring goodness into the city in such great and profound ways. So I want to say, first of all, Sammy, welcome.
Thank you.
I love our friendship, love our partnership, and am so impressed with how God is opening the doors for you and your life and all that's working through Merge. I'm going to just speak about Merge today. Right. And the mission of Merge is important. What is it? And what are you seeking to accomplish?
Well, about 4 years ago, we saw the need to bring a message of hope and unity to the greater Twin Cities, especially seeing all the nations that are coming here, the peoples of the earth, as you normally put it, coming to the Twin Cities and then living in different pockets. Yeah. So we felt a call from God to really bring that sense of unity and then share the message of hope through the church.
When we're going through Jeremiah 29, we're learning about the urbanization, the movement, the migration of peoples. Mm-hmm. And now we're seeing that in historic fashion all around the world. We're seeing it in our own Twin Cities.
Yep.
Give us a composite of who's coming to the Twin City area.
I like to say that when you see a gathering of nations, it's a recipe for the movement of God.
Yeah.
And right here in the Twin Cities, we have currently about 250,000 Latino or Hispanic community. We have about 100,000 Hmong. We have about 80,000 Somalis. We have about 55,000 Ethiopians, wow, about 50,000 Russians, 40,000 Liberians, on and on and on. Over a million people from over 100 different nations that are represented here.
The Twin City area is about 3 million people. So one
Correct.
Third are coming from the families of the earth who are coming to our own backyard
Correct.
Right now. What's the trajectory of this fast growth of these different people groups in the Twin Cities? What impact will it have on us?
In the next 20 years or so, it's projected over 50% of the Twin Cities will be first or second generation immigrants. So there is this fast-paced change, just like you mentioned in the message, the peoples of the earth are moving into the cities faster.
Yeah.
And it's the reality of the Twin Cities. Now, other cities like New York, San Francisco, and London and others, they already passed that 50% mark a long time ago, but we are catching up pretty fast.
Yeah, and the reality is it would be easy for us in all that change to not like what's taking place.
Correct.
Where God postures us not only to like it, to pray for it, to enter into it, to settle into it, to bring the goodness of his gospel into it. Of the composite of all these different people groups, how many are engaged in church and Jesus, even being aware of the name of Jesus?
You know, about 90% of the populations in these communities are not engaged from a gospel standpoint, and they don't have a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. So it's a vast mission field. We like to pray that God may send us to the nations as missionaries, but God has brought them all here, and we get to just cross the street and be able to meet the world.
Yeah, it's extraordinary, and yeah. I'm so glad we get to partner as part of our 10-10-10 strategy here, near and far, and we're seeing God work in and through that. Over the unrest of the last month, George Floyd was killed on 38th in Chicago, that little community there. And it's elevated the conversation that's been needed on race in our country. It's, I think, moving the needle in a right direction, not without its challenges, but we're part of that dialogue. But also we see the composite of all those peoples of the earth that are in that given vicinity as part of that gospel mission to bring the gospel and to plant churches as well.
Yeah.
But you had an opportunity to be down in 38th in Chicago.
Correct.
Speak about what's happening and how the goodness of Christ is coming there.
Yeah, so after the unrest started, I think it was like May 28th, which was a really bad night.
Yeah.
So myself and my son, we actually went out there. We just felt prompted to go and pray. Yeah. But then that weekend, as things were getting worse, several ministries were feeling the same prompting. And through a series of things, we felt like there's a church right there at the corner, Christ Outreach Worldwide. They wanted to have a ministry station. So they invited us in, along with other ministries, to come and provide that ministry. And we've been out there since the day of Pentecost, which was that Saturday, until now. And we've seen hundreds of people give their lives to Christ. And not only that, but also baptisms happening at the location. And one of the things that has been happening is that as people give their lives to Christ, there is this spontaneous joy and transformation. People come sad, broken, and it's really a sacred moment. But as they encounter Jesus and the gospel, there is a change in the atmosphere that happens. And so having the gospel there has provided a spiritual dynamic to the whole conversation and to the symbolism of that place.
I love it. And you've spoken to me about the heightened tension. People come with anger and frustration, and then your ministry there, along with the teams, every evening there's been somebody preaching the gospel and
Correct.
Giving invitations for people to come to receive Christ, to be baptized.
Correct.
And that as they begin that ministry, those tensions just seem to just go down.
They do. They do. In fact, this last Sunday, I had a very interesting moment. I had like 20 people standing there with guns.
Really?
It was one of the most tension moments. But then they were there listening. I mean, they were demonstrators, but they were listening to the gospel. Yeah. But you could feel the presence of God there. And it melts hearts and brings healing and hope. We've seen tears. We've seen embrace. We've seen people looking at each other and just crying on each other's shoulders. Wow. It's beautiful.
You know, we think of that area as just such a dark event that happened, and here the light of Christ is shining through you and others who are serving his purposes, bringing goodness into the city that will prosper the city. Such
right.
a beautiful story. Now, part of Merge includes a big event to reach the families of the earth, this
Correct.
Composite of people from around the world that's come to the Twin Cities in a celebration of the nations. But that event, when is it happening, and how are you dealing with the changes coming to you right now?
So. Yeah, we were to have that this September.
Yeah.
But with COVID and just the dynamics of hosting an event with large crowds, we pivoted to 2021. Right now, we're in discussion with Allianz Field as to the dates and timings and the soccer schedule. All of those dynamics are in play, but we are looking to host that in the summer of 2021.
Yeah.
And actually, people can learn more at our Merge Twin Cities website as well.
Beautiful. Yeah, that's an evangelistic event. We're excited. We're going to be with you on that, serving alongside, praying for God to open the hearts of the nations to
Correct.
His presence in so many ways. Sammy, as I was preparing the message from Jeremiah 29 time, I'm deeply moved every time I get into the Word and I see its correlation to the presence of Jesus. Mm-hmm. Because Jesus himself settled in to our backyard. And he was the ambassador of God's love that came to meet us. He was seeking the peace of our soul so that we could live in right relationship with the living God. I'm so deeply touched. And as we conclude our service, we're going to come to the table. And I want to invite you to join me with the elements, invite you to set the table with the bread and the cup that's before you. But I think about in our own personal lives. We're standing here because of the goodness that has changed and transformed us. When did the peace of Christ come to reign in your heart?
I was about 4 years old. My parents had just come to Christ in the early 70s, and I was, growing up in that environment. And my mom tells me when I was four, I asked her to pray with me to receive Jesus Christ into my heart. But it became even a more deeper reality when I was eight. I was praying one afternoon with my older brother, and I just experienced this beautiful moment encounter with the Holy Spirit and with God in my life that really solidified my experience.
Yeah, and a miracle happened when you were eight. As a young boy, he ordained your life. What happened in that miracle?
It was beautiful because I grew up in a rural village, so we didn't speak English and all of that. But that day as we were praying, supernaturally, I began to speak perfect English with a perfect British accent, which has kind of been mellowed a little bit now. But that's what happened, and I could read, I could write, and I could pray perfectly in English, and it was just
extraordinary.
A beautiful moment.
It doesn't seem fair to us who work really hard in grammar school, and by the way, your British accent hasn't diminished much at all. It's still pronounced.
I still had to learn French later.
Oh, really? Unbelievable. Well, God moved you for this purpose, and here you are traveling around the world and in our own Twin Cities, and we're delighted to partner with you. We're going to come to the table, and I don't know where you are right now. If you're a believer in Christ, use this time to give thanks to God that that way was opened up, that His goodness came to you. Rejoice in that. But if you don't know Christ, use this opportunity to yield your life, surrender it to Him, and experience His goodness. I've asked Sammy to lead in prayer as we receive the elements of the bread and the cup. So would you join us to that end?
See, Jesus invites us and says, "Come to me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you confess your sin, He is faithful and just to forgive you." Today, you can pray with us to invite Christ into your heart. Say, "Jesus, I confess my sin. I am a sinner in need of your forgiveness. Come and live inside of me and make me into a new creation. In Jesus' name." Lord, today we come to you with thanksgiving that you moved into our neighborhood. You seek for our peace and our transformation and our healing. And today, God, we pray that that healing will be a reality for each one of us, wherever we may be around the city today. And we pray most importantly that the peace of Jesus will transcend our individual personality to our neighborhoods, to our friends, to the entire city, and to our nation and our world. May you grant us grace to walk in the dominion and authority of your Spirit, being agents and ambassadors of your mercy and grace in these times. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.